Go right into the word of the Lord. Father God, we honor you. Lord, I thank you for every answered prayer. I thank you that you're a good father that we can call upon, that we can speak to, that before we speak, Lord God, you already know our heart. You already know our intentions. You already know how everything's going to work out. So Lord, today I pray that you will open up our hearts. I pray that you will speak to us individually, that you will show us how valued we are in your sight. I pray that today, Lord, you will continue to encourage us, continue to show us your grace and your love and your mercy all the days of our life. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for forgiving us. And by faith, we believe these things and we pray them in your Son's holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. What I have noticed over the past definitely several years is that Mother's Day is the biggest deal in the world, but come Father's Day, a lot of people don't make a big deal out of that. And I'm not going to lie, up until about, I don't know, maybe 40 minutes ago, I didn't actually realize that this Sunday is Father's Day. So I definitely want to take the opportunity to say Happy Father's Day to each father out there, whether in the natural or in the spirit, whether a stepdad, whatever it may be, Happy Father's Day. And I want to encourage you and let you know that you are definitely making a difference in the life of your children, in the life of other people's children. And it's a big deal. And I know, like, even places that we'll go eat or do whatever, you know, they have certain celebrations for Mother's Day. But for Father's Day, it's not as a big a deal. And it makes me curious as to why not. And I think I know probably some of the base answers. But I want you to know that God considers it a big deal. And when I was talking to the Lord about what I was going to talk about today, I was instantly taken to Joseph. Joseph, who had been betrayed by his brothers, Joseph that had done, you know, been wrong, been thrown into prison, went to the palace, been thrown into prison, who had faced adversity in his life. When I think about Joseph, I have to think about Jacob being his dad, who later on was named Israel. So the scripture today is going to come out of the book of Genesis, chapter 47, and I'm going to start at verse 1. And what I want to talk about today is, as fathers, or as obviously all of us have a father, whether that be in the natural or in the spirit, that the things that we do early on, the things that we do every single day of our lives, make a difference in the people around us. One of the greatest things that I can do as a father is to show my children their value. Is to show them how important they are, not only to me, but to God. It's one thing for me to tell my kid or our kids, hey, listen, you guys are important. But if I don't say, hey, listen, God values you also. God is fascinated with you. God is so in love with you that he sent his only begotten son so that you could have eternal life with him forever. Last Sunday, I had definitely a proud dad moment. I got the privilege to stand next to Joshua as he was baptized. And no doubt it makes me happy when Joshua could shoot a basketball, or, you know, the first time he was strong enough to shoot at a 10-foot goal, or the first time he could catch a ball, or the first time he could hit a golf ball over 100 yards, whatever it may be. Those were proud moments. But the opportunity to stand next to my son as he proclaimed his faith to Jesus, as he went down in the water symbolically and came up a new creature, man, it was one of the greatest moments of my life so far. I was a proud father. And in that moment, God instantly took me back to some of the times in my life that God has been there for me, and he stood right by me. You see, Joshua was a little nervous going into it. He was a little nervous right before he hit that water. But as soon as he hit the water, as soon as he sat down and the pastor began to lay hands and to pray for him, I believe that he felt a comfort come over him that only God can provide. And brothers and sisters, today I want you to know that that comfort is available to you. It's available to me. God is our comforter. God wants you to know how valuable you are to Him. God wants you to know that He doesn't love this person more than you. He wants you to know that He's not forgot about you, that He's not looked over you, He's not picked over you, that you're still the apple of His eye. God is absolutely in love with you. And if you and me will understand that revelation, if we will take that revelation and allow it to pierce our heart, then your and my life will never be the same. You see, I'm a firm believer that we can have heaven on earth. I'm a firm believer that you and me, yes, we'll go through trials. Yes, we'll go through tribulations, but we don't have to go through it like the rest of the world. You see, in this story, just for the backstory, Joseph's family was going through, it was going to be ultimately 7 years of a famine. So Joseph's dad's having to send the sons to buy food from Joseph. They're going through hell, so to speak. Yes, they have some food, but they don't have grain. They don't have the sustenance that they need to go through these trials. But Joseph and Pharaoh in the land in Egypt, they're living just fine. They're not struggling. They're not worried about how they're going to make ends meet. The Bible is extremely clear. Joseph had it going on. Joseph was sending servants to do this and sending servants to do that. They weren't worried about where they were going to get food from. And the question I have is why? And the reason is because God prepared Joseph for this famine. And I want you to know today that God has already prepared you for whatever adversity that you and me face. He's already given us the power of the Holy Spirit. He's already showed us His kindness and His love. He's already done so much for us that when we face these adversities, there's absolutely nothing wrong with saying, God, I know I'm going through this, but I know that You're faithful to see me through. I know that I can hold on to Your never changing hand, and I know that You'll bring me through. There's nothing wrong for us to be like a 10-year-old son or my 8-year-old daughter and say, hey, I know that I got this game, or I know I got this mannequin head so I can cut this hair and pretend that I'm a beautician yesterday, but I saw something new today. You see, my kids are not afraid to ask me for anything. They may not ask their Uncle Chris for something. They may not ask their Papa Steve for something. They may not ask their other grandpa or their grandma. But when I get home, I'm telling you, my kids know that they can pull at my heart. They know that their relationship with me is a little different. They know I may look tired when I come home from work, but all Isabel has to say is, hey, let's go hit this ball. Let's go jump. Let's go do this. Why? Because they know that Papa loves them. And I want you to know today that God loves you. It's a simple thought, but I promise you it will transform everything in our lives if we can understand that God values us. Yes, we should value God way more than He values us, but He loves us so much that He set this thing in motion to show us His love that He has for us. In the book of Genesis chapter 47 in verse 1, the Bible says, then Joseph went and told Pharaoh and said, my father and my brothers, their flocks and their herds and all that they possess have come from the land of Canaan, and indeed, they are in the land of Goshen. Verse 2, and he took 5 men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. So Joseph's brothers, Joseph's dad, all these people, all these family members, all these people that could be a hindrance. Because don't forget, there's a famine in the land, but Joseph has the ability, Joseph has the confidence to go to Pharaoh and say, listen, I brought all these people that you told me to, I brought all my family members, and I'm bringing them here, and they're going to live off the land. I think that I would be a little nervous to talk to Pharaoh, even though Pharaoh told him, listen, send for your family. I would probably think, well, what if there's not enough? Or what if God didn't really allow me to plan so good that there would be enough food in the land? What if God maybe forgot about a year that there was going to be an extra famine? What if God? What if God? What if God? And I know we do that to him. I know we say, God, but what if, but what if, but what if? And I believe God is telling us, but I. And if you will interject God into any situation that you're facing, any circumstance that you're facing, it has to change. There is absolutely nothing that I can have in my life going wrong or that I'm struggling with or that I'm dealing with. If I interject God into that situation, then it has to change. Joseph, I believe, was so confident before Pharaoh because many years before, the Bible says that Joseph's dad had given him a coat of many colors. I believe Jacob gave Joseph that coat to prepare him for the adversity that was going to come his way. I believe Jacob gave Joseph that coat, no doubt because he loved him. No doubt because he thought that it was beautiful. No doubt that he thought that he was valued. But I believe more than anything else, Jacob being a good dad, Jacob being a good father, was preparing Joseph for the adversity that he was going to face for many, many years of his life. What did that coat of many colors represent to Joseph? Beauty? Absolutely. Love? Absolutely. But I believe that coat of many colors showed Joseph that he was valued. I believe that coat of many colors showed Joseph that, listen, my dad's got a lot of sons, but I'm not more important than they are, but I am valued. Brothers and sisters, today I know that a lot of people may have some things that you and me don't have. I know that a lot of people may not have to go through trials or adversities like you and me think that they should or think that they're not going through. But I promise you something, everybody goes through. Everybody faces trials. Everybody faces tribulations, but not everybody goes through the same. There was a famine throughout the land, and Joseph's daddy and them, Jacob and his other sons, were literally going to starve to death. And Joseph sat in the palace eating until his belly was full. What was the difference? God had prepared Joseph for a time as this, and everybody else had to fall in line to God's order. Everybody else had to come back and acknowledge how valuable Joseph was. Ultimately, because Jacob was a good father, Joseph saved the lives of millions and millions of people. Today, my greatest prayer to the fathers, my greatest prayer to the mothers, my greatest prayer to every person that will hear this message is that you will know that you are valuable. You are worth a lot. God is in love with you. God is fascinated by you. God absolutely wants to speak to you as much as he does your pastor. God wants to hear from you as much as he does from your apostle or from one of your evangelists or whomever it may be. You and you alone are worth it. You deserve that coat of many colors. You deserve value placed on you. And it's okay that other people in your life don't see it yet. That's absolutely fine. That's when we have to make the choice. Do we believe God or do we believe everybody else in our life? Do we want to keep up with the Joneses and go in debt or do we want to hold on and prepare for the future? I promise you there wasn't one time in Joseph's life that he regretted preparing for the future. I promise you when he was in that palace, that pit didn't seem like such a big deal. When he was in that palace, all the times that he had been wronged in the past didn't seem like that big a deal. Why? Because God brought him out of every adversity. It's the reason King David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, nor will any harm come near my dwelling. It's the reason at night that when I pray, I speak over my children, I speak over my wife, I loose the angels around the house. God and God alone is the one that'll see you through. God and God alone is the one that will see me through. And today I want you to know that maybe a lot of us don't have a natural father, or maybe even a spiritual father, but we have a heavenly father. And that heavenly father is worth more than it all. He is worth every bit of value, every bit of love, every bit of acknowledgement, every bit of worship that you place on him. He is exactly who he says he is. He is Papa. He is Abba. He is God and God alone. And he is all about loving us. He's all about redeeming us. He's all about giving us another chance and another chance. I dare you to challenge God and see if he will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't even hold. If you'll pay your tithes and your offerings, if you want something you've never had before, then we have to be willing to do something we've never done before. God is good. And I promise you, just like Joseph got that coat of many colors, God will clothe you and me with his righteousness. God will allow us to hold the helmet of salvation. God will allow us to put on the breastplate of righteousness, and we can have the sword of the Spirit, and we are victorious in Christ Jesus if we'll call him Father. In closing today, it absolutely amazes me When I see my kids play with my wife, and I see other kids play with their moms and their dads, and I'm real curious, or I guess I'm fascinated by the dynamics in different households. I think it's funny how sometimes the daughter maybe clings to the dad more and the son clings to the mom more, or vice versa. You know, it's different in every household. But I do know that when I come home, or when Alex is not here, that things are the same no matter whether she's here or no matter who's here most of the time, except when maybe like somebody the kids don't know is here or don't know that well. They scoot a little closer to their dad. They when we're in a big crowd or whatever, they'll get a little closer to dad, because they know that the relationship they built with me, they know that I'll protect. They know that I probably have the muscles of 7 or 8 Hulks. You know, one thing I love about this message, nobody can interrupt me. It's absolutely amazing. I'll pay for this later, I'm sure, but I might as well have fun. It's Father's Day Sunday, you know, I'm going to have my fun now. But since I'm extremely strong and good looking, amen, Angela, but because of these things, they know that if they're close to me, they feel protected. Are they still nervous sometimes? Absolutely. But there's a confidence that comes from being close. There's strength from them being close to me. And today, brothers and sisters, I want you to know that there is a strength and a confidence that comes from being close to the Father. You see, a normal in our household is on Wednesday mornings before this message, I'm in the bathroom and in the bedroom, and I'm in there singing, and I can't sing very well. That's an understatement. But I'm in there praising and worshiping the Lord and probably speaking in 100 different languages, and I'm having a good time. But my kids don't think it's weird. Joshua and Isabel don't come in there and say, "What's wrong, Dad?" They don't come in there and say, "Dad, are you okay?" They don't come in there to say, "Dad, I'm scared." Why? Because they're used to worship. And a little boy going down in the water a few days ago worshiped the Lord. There's a picture of Isabel on the internet that somebody had taken, and it's a picture of a beautiful little girl with her arms outstretched, praising and worshiping the Lord, not because somebody was going to take a picture. We actually had no idea about the picture, but just because she wanted to show the Father, thank you. She wanted to show the Father, hey, I love you. Hey, I worship you. And today, my challenge to us is, can we be like that 8-year-old little girl? and throw our hands up to the Lord, no matter who's around in worship? Can we be like that 10-year-old little boy that went down in water in front of a lot of people that was nervous but still said, "Dad, I got to do it"? Can we be like these children and honor and acknowledge what God has done in our life? And I believe the answer is yes. Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you that ultimately you are the best father. And I thank you that you don't stop at father as some distant person or some distant God. I thank you that you are Abba. I thank you that you're Papa. I thank you that you are everything that I could ever possibly describe you as. You are good. And today, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters. Today, I pray for the fathers, the mothers, the aunts, the uncles, the cousins, who all of them, Lord. I pray that you will show them your value. I pray that you will wrap them in your righteousness. I pray that you will wrap them in your love. And Lord, ultimately, I pray more than anything that they will know you as Comforter. God, that you are Comforter. God, that you are Comforter. What a revelation today, God. If we can hold on to that and in the middle of the storm be comforted by your goodness, in the middle of the tribulation, know that it's not going to get too bad because Daddy's there. So today, Lord, I pray that you will continue to reveal yourself to us, to continue to forgive us, continue to hold on to us, continue to love us in spite of, and we say yes, Yahweh. We thank you for everything that you've done and everything that you're going to do. And by faith, we believe these things. We consider them to be done on earth as they already are in the heavens. And we believe you and say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen.